On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, welcome to Roth Conversions in a Volatile Stock Market. I'm Bob Keebler, and joining us today are Barry Picker and Mike Jones. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Barry, can you provide us with a brief overview of conversions, recharacterizations, and then reconversions, and particularly focusing on when a person can reconvert?
Sure, Bob. The idea of a recharacterization is that you can undo your conversion up until basically October 15th of the year after the conversion is done. The way you undo a conversion is called a recharacterization, which basically moves the money from the Roth back to the traditional IRA. Now, once that is done, the rule is that you cannot convert again the same money that has just been recharacterized until the later of the year after the year of the original conversion or the 31st day after the recharacterization. So somebody who converted in 2010 and now recharacterizes or recharacterized in 2011, they have to wait to the 31st day after the recharacterization. If they have converted in 2011 and have already recharacterized in 2011, then they must wait until 2012 before they can reconvert the same money, because that would be the year after the original conversion.
So, Mike, can you put this in perspective for someone that is thinking of doing a conversion? They're brand new to this whole planning strategy, and they're really wondering whether they should convert in the next 10 weeks of 2011 or whether they should wait till January 1st, 2012. What would be, and we'll go back into this in some depth, but in general, what's the advantage of waiting to 2012, and what's the detriment of waiting?
Bob, before we go on, I'd like to mention that recharacterizations are available not only to people who have converted a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, but some of my clients, and I'm sure some of your clients, have had a Roth IRA conversion occur that came from a 401k plan or from a qualified plan. Those can also be recharacterized to traditional IRAs. Now, addressing your question, if you were to do a Roth IRA conversion today in 2011, you'd owe taxes in 2011, so you have to be prepared to pay those taxes. You usually want to do that from outside funds, not the funds that you're converting. And secondly, your deadline for recharacterizing would be October 15th of next year if things don't go well for you. On the other hand, if you do that recharacterization on or after January 1st of 2012, you'll pay your taxes a year later on that conversion, but also you'll have until October 15th of 2013 to recharacterize. So it would actually give you a somewhat longer recharacterization window if you're looking for that.
And, of course, the detriment is that between now and January, you have a tremendous increase in value in the traditional IRA, and that would then give you that much additional taxable income on the conversion. So that's, of course, the downside is if we're optimistic of the market movement between now and January.
A third way would be to do some of each, is to convert some now and some later.
So let me frame this out. So basically, there's three terms: conversion, which everyone understands, recharacterization, and then reconversion. And all this leads to, I know if I have $1 million in my IRA, I can do one big $1 million conversion. But Mike and Barry, for at least 10 years since Notice 2001-38 came out, we've been talking about this segregation strategy. And in the segregation strategy, what a client would do is break up their IRA by asset class and hope to get more volatility like that. In other words, be able to isolate the accounts that went up tremendously in value, at the same time be able to recharacterize the ones that went down in value. In today's volatile stock market, Mike, what are you telling your clients about this strategy? And then, Barry, we're going to swing back to you with another question.
From a practical standpoint, I think you need a certain size account to do that, because if you have $200,000 to invest, having 8 or 10 Roth IRAs doesn't make much sense administratively. If you've got the million-dollar account, then it can make sense to have several Roth IRAs according to asset class. They all seem to be volatile right now, except maybe the bond market, and even that's volatile unless you're sticking really short term. So it still works pretty well, and it seems to me that you still want to pursue that strategy, and I would very much like to hear others' thoughts on that.
Barry, what are your thoughts, and what are you seeing on the East Coast? And for everyone that doesn't know, I have great perspective here because Mike is on the West Coast and Barry's in Brooklyn, and so they're seeing the best thoughts across the whole country. Barry, I mean, what's going on the East Coast, and are people converting by asset class?
They are definitely converting by asset class. I had one client who actually converted into 9 different Roth IRAs, and he has since recharacterized 7 of them. Another client who did something similar, I believe he converted into about 7 or 8 different Roth IRAs and recharacterized all but 3 of them. So, you know, definitely are doing that. It's definitely, you know, a recommended strategy. But one thing to keep in mind, even going back to Mike's suggestion of doing a conversion for part of your IRA now in 2011, and then doing another conversion of another amount, possibly the balance, in the beginning of 2012, is that each of those conversions need to go into its own brand new Roth IRA account. Conversions, it's very, very difficult. I mean, it's possible, but difficult in terms of calculation to recharacterize a blended account. So if you convert now into a brand new Roth, and then in January do a conversion into a second Roth, that gives you more flexibility in terms of recharacterizations and reconversions.
So we want to emphasize here that recharacterization is the reason for having separate Roth IRAs, and once the recharacterization period has passed, you might want to go ahead and combine those into one.
And let me go into 2 other questions. First, Barry, from a portfolio perspective, let's say that I had a client that converted Apple from a regular IRA to a Roth IRA. The stock doubled. And at that point in time, should people be looking at rebalancing their Roth portfolios? Not just, I realize they might try to keep their whole portfolio, IRAs, brokerage accounts, Roth IRAs in balance. But if you have just one asset class in your Roth that's done very well, do you step back and try to reallocate? I mean, from a finance perspective, should we be doing that, and what should we be holding in our Roth IRAs?
Well, the answer is yes. I mean, everybody should have balanced portfolios, and while it's possible to have, you know, multiple Roth IRAs with, you know, and in the case of my client, one stock in each Roth IRA, as long as the overall portfolio is, you know, a balanced portfolio. There's been talk about keeping, let's say, the bond portfolio in the Roth IRA because that, you know, interest is, let's call it the worst tax situation as being taxed as ordinary income. But I'm finding what people really want in the Roth IRA is the most growth potential. So they tend to actually be, you know, have, let's call it the high flyers in the Roth IRA because all that gain will be, you know, tax-free. So that's, you know, what I'm seeing in the, you know, in the so-called real world.
Bob, I'd like to confirm what Barry said and add that when you have someone who has invested in an Apple, their thinking can get anchored because it's been so successful for them. And what I tell them is risks makes you rich and diversity keeps you rich.
No, and that's good advice, Mike. Mike, let's wrap up with one question to you, and I think this is a hard question. Let's say in 2010, I converted, I'm 75 years old, I'm past my required beginning date, then I just recharacterized last week. And what about my RMD? How do I go back? I had to take out an RMD for for 2011. I haven't done that yet because I thought it was in the Roth. Now it's back in a regular IRA. What are my responsibilities under the law?
Well, when you do a recharacterization of a Roth IRA, the regulations tell us that wherever you go with that Roth IRA, in this case back to a traditional IRA, your original Roth IRA conversion is treated as though it never occurred. It's treated as though the contribution was never made to a Roth IRA in the first place, but instead was made to a traditional IRA. So what that will do is it will, in a sense, retroactively reinstate the required distribution based on the value of the account as of December 31st of 2010. So you will indeed need to adjust your required minimum distribution for 2011, which you can take from any traditional IRA that you have or some of them, depending on how you feel that will work best.
So there's certainly a lot of little rules here, but the bottom line is, here's my bottom line question for both of you. If someone is disciplined, is there any risk in doing a Roth conversion on January 1st, 2012, and basically evaluating if accounts go up in value, the desirability of keeping those in the Roth IRA, and if they go down in value, recharacterizing them? What's the downside with that strategy?
There's never any downside to a conversion, specifically because of the fact that you have the ability to recharacterize. And as Mike pointed out, a recharacterization basically negates the conversion. It's as if it never happened. So go ahead and do it, because if you feel it's not working, you just undo it, and it's almost like no harm, no foul.
So almost all upside and very little downside. Mike, do you agree with that?
I think that there could be a downside. I think if we look not very far back in history, even in the last year or two, we find that markets can suddenly move up, and they can move up very, very quickly. So you're going to be out of your Roth IRA for at least the next 30 days. And during that 30 days, it can go north on you rather fast, and you'll be out of the market when that happens. So I'm kind of one who doesn't like to put all the chips on everything on black and nothing on red. I tend to put some chips on red and some chips on black, so that if markets do move up, I'm still in my Roth IRA. I might do some recharacterization now and then take a wait-and-see attitude for something later.
So there's a lot to think about. The bottom line is almost the worst thing we can do is take no action. And By attempting to do Roth conversions, we put our clients in a much better place. Now, last thoughts. The tax rate today is 35%. We know it's very likely that we'll go to 39.6 for our highest income taxpayers. There's a 3.8% surtax, which technically doesn't apply to IRA income, but it can have the effect of taxing more of your investment income. And then, of course, there's the 5.6% millionaire surtax that the majority leader, Senator Harry Reid, has set forth. That takes us up to like a 49% rate. Barry, if we get rising tax rates, Roth IRAs clearly make more sense than if tax rates stay flat.
Oh, definitely. The idea of, there's twofold advantage. One is getting the income out at a lower tax bracket. And then there's the future growth that will never be taxed at any rate.
So, Mike, let's say you represented a physician with a very large balance, and really the math of a conversion didn't make sense at flat rates. Could you have he or she convert on January 1st, 2012, and just knowing that they had until almost a year after the presidential election to recharacterize, knowing that they'll probably have a pretty good feel for tax policy?
One would hope that to be the case. And if they don't have a good feeling for tax policy by then, it could be a surprise, but you would still be able to recharacterize if you weren't feeling good about the taxes you were going to have to pay. And by then, you would have had some experience in the Roth in terms of how it's performed, and you might be making decisions about whether or not to recharacterize based on performance more than tax rates at that point.
Mike and Barry, this has been very insightful. And on behalf of Lineberger Information Services, we'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Bob.
Good to be here, Bob.